97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy 2023, and glad you're with us here, along with my partner Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Welcome back.
Yes, I'm happy.
Yeah,
to be
welcome back.
Back,
man.
I'm telling you what, man. It was. I just got back from Cabo. I say I got back from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Actually, I was close to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I was around the peninsula, about 20 miles away or so. We have some friends that live in a beautiful community down there. And San Jose is what the area is referred to as. And Boa, as the Van Halen song aptly quoted one time, if you go there once, you'll be there twice. I got to go back. No doubt about it.
Oh, my gosh. You've never been? Of all the years I've heard you talk about Sammy Hagar, you've never been?
It's been a bucket list item for me.
Well, he wants to go in October, but he wound up going in January.
What I've always wanted to do is go in October, but his birthday always falls so close to my daughter's birthday that taking a week off right then is just never, it's never worked for me, as I'd love to go down. But even if you go down, you don't get a guarantee that you get to go to his concert. I mean, it's a tiny little club. There's only about 400 people can get in, and thousands go down there. So I've never pulled it off.
Can we talk? I mean, I've just got friends that are leaving for Virgin Islands this weekend. Can I ask you about the air travel? Because that's part of the great outdoors of this radio show.
Yeah.
How was the air travel? Because, you know, as we've all heard, Southwest has been jammed up for so long. Did you have any problems traveling in your private jet?
Well, you know, when you have means, you don't have to worry about those things, Bo. I don't personally, so I did have to worry about it. And I flew on American Airlines. We booked it a long time ago. We had no problems. It was smooth the whole way. The flight back was delayed maybe 20 minutes or so. Wasn't bad. And I'll have to say the American Airlines pilots are having a little bit of fun at Southwest's expense. We landed. The pilot said, "Folks, this is Captain So-and-so from the flight deck. I just want to welcome you into Cabo San Lucas and point out that we arrived at your destination 10 minutes early. Unlike Southwest Airlines, who would have gotten you here 5 days late."
Called
Enjoy
them
your
out.
Visit. Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
That guy probably used to work for Southwest.
He's probably been using that line for a week or so now. Mm-hmm. But regardless, they're more than happy to poke the bear a little bit. And we had no problems with American, but there were still people in lines. And I don't know for which airlines, but their airlines were all packed.
But it was still cheaper to fly you entirely across the country and then back to St. Louis.
We were booking for price and not convenience, because it's not cheap to get to Cabo San Lucas. And when we booked it, I don't know if we used Priceline or some travel site like
Expedia.
That.
Expedia.
Travelocity,
and
yeah.
We flew from St. Louis to Dallas and Dallas to Cabo, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
South and then south again.
That is in line.
Yeah. On the way back, we had to fly from Cabo to Charlotte, lay over in Charlotte for 2.5 hours, and then fly back to St. Louis.
Never understood that kind of math.
Well,
and
Charlotte's
fuel
a hub.
And all that stuff.
Well, I know, but I don't know how they make any money doing that.
Because they were already going to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And
then the last time I flew to St. Croix was the only time I went to St. Croix, but we stopped in Miami and then went on to St. Croix. When we wanted to just go to my grandmother's house in Miami, I wanted to fly direct to Miami. No, you had to go through Charlotte or wherever it was. And it's like, it doesn't make – or I love when they say, oh, we're going to run through Denver first and then run you down to Miami. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Denver is Frontier. If you're flying Frontier, you go through Denver or Detroit.
Well, I don't know. But hats off to anybody that's flying internationally like you, Mark, because, you know, a lot of people have stayed within the borders of the lower 48 because of COVID and all the stuff that's been going on. So hats off. You look fine. Not much of a tan. Were you not outside?
I was. I just, you know, I was closer to the equator down there. I used a lot of the sunscreen. I wanted
it's
to be
still
careful.
January.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was 75. Got to play golf. Got to go whale watching. We had a great time.
You got to feel bad for anybody that went to Florida over the holidays. It was 30s and 40s down there.
Right. I know.
You know, it's like, wow, that sucks.
I will say that this was the best travel experience we've ever had to Mexico. Because whenever you go to a foreign country, particularly ones where there are places in Mexico that still have travel advisories, right? If you go to the State Department website, there are places in Mexico you shouldn't travel to. Obviously, the big ones like Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo are not included in that. But you have a certain expectation for security. You might be a little more worried about going out on your own, that sort of thing. I didn't get any of that in Cabo. For the first time in my travel to Mexico, I felt completely comfortable in that area. Now, I don't know.
You stayed on the resort, though.
I stayed at a private residence.
Right, okay.
But we did travel all around and went to restaurants and went to downtown Cabo and ate on the beach. And,
so you were a local?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was really a comfortable environment. And apparently they have not legalized marijuana in Mexico. Because people would walk up to you and go, would you like to buy some weed? No, thank you. Like, they were very cautious about it. They didn't want to be overheard by anyone.
Federales.
There were no dispensaries anywhere. So unlike my trip to Times Square, where you would choke on the noxious fumes from a joint every 10 feet, you didn't get any of that in Mexico. So that was good.
That's ironic.
Of course, it is January.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, let's drift back because Santa Claus brought all of us Mantis X products. Did you boys get into it?
I have opened the box. I have not. Once I talked to my friend Mark Cox here, it's a little more involved than I thought it was going to be.
Oh boy, is it ever.
You just need to spend a little bit of time. I was able to get the rail attached to my handgun and power it up, but I've still got, I need to rely on my friend Bo Matthews to enlighten me here.
Let's have full disclosure. We had our friend from Mantis X on, and Santa Claus sent us free presents.
After the fact.
Yeah. After the fact, which was not, we didn't know they were coming, and all of a sudden these boxes show up, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, we each got to try one of these.
And I have tried it, and it's been fantastic. And on their website, I'll say, it says, you will improve your shooting within 20 minutes. I went from a 71.3 to an 84.4. In about three or four sessions. So my point is, why don't we commiserate in the next week, and then we can have a full discussion about it. And I, as I understand it, the software is pretty slick, where we can actually invite listeners at an appointed time, and we can compete against each other.
Wow!
Through the app, it's pretty freaking cool. But so yeah,
without what else wasting any ammo.
Exactly. No, exactly. What else did you get for Christmas? Anything hunting related? Anything outdoors related?
I did. My son and I got quite a nice gift from Santa Claus. It was a Benelli shotgun.
Wow.
I got a 12-gauge Benelli shotgun. I've been doing more bird hunting lately, particularly duck hunting.
Because you're good at it.
Which I really enjoy. And every time we went to go duck hunt, I've got a couple of shotguns that I've used for years that I inherited from my dad, and it's a Remington and a Winchester, and they're fantastic, but they're 50 years old. And whenever I would go duck hunting, these guys are saying, listen, we have to use steel shot. It's probably not safe to do that with a barrel that old. You need to bring something younger than that. And preferably
and
something with a synthetic stock so that if you drop it in the water, it's not going to ruin it. And sure enough, we complained about this a little bit, had to borrow my brother-in-law's gun every time we went. And Santa Claus said, hey, I think you should have a new Benelli Super Black Eagle 3. So that's exactly what I'm shooting with now.
Congratulations.
So you and your son got identical firearms?
No. We got one for the family.
Oh, okay.
We'll share. Yes. Because that's not an inexpensive gun.
No. Santa has his limits.
Yes, indeed. Santa does have a budget. So
that's
fun.
That's awesome.
I can't wait.
Yeah, no, we hadn't talked since Christmas, so I wanted to find out what Santa Claus brought you. Good stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of guns, if you live in the state of Illinois, your gun rights are on the line. There are people in Springfield right now actively plotting how to turn you into a criminal overnight. And we're going to talk to State Representative Blaine Willhauer, who's been tracking this. He's been fighting it as a member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus. And we'll figure out what he thinks the solution is, because they're not giving up. J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats in Springfield are not giving up on this. So that's all straight ahead right here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
They don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
That's a great song. For this segment, which is brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge, featuring custom firearms. It's not a big store. It doesn't have to be, but the knowledge is profound. And they also offer Mantis X, the shooting training system, which I am getting very familiar with. And my show partners here are going to be a part of it and get into it. But go to RazorbackArmory.com for their address and get in to see them with Jesse and Brad. All right, this segment is about Illinois. So Illinois, listen up. Illinois Rep. Blaine Willauer is a Republican member of the Illinois House of Representatives from the 107th District, otherwise known as Southern Illinois, because there could be that conversation one day, too. The districts are located Southern Illinois, Bond, Clinton, Effingham, Fayette, Marion counties. I've got gun-owning friends over in that part of the state, and they are as concerned about what you're concerned about from the Illinois Freedom Caucus. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here. I appreciate what you guys do and appreciate your advocacy on this important issue, especially in the state of Illinois here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we're excited to have you on primarily because we're reading all these headlines over here. We see what the majority is trying to do in the state of Illinois in terms of stepping on our Second Amendment rights. When are people going to wake up?
That's a really good question. The far left is emboldened. They had some big wins in Illinois, especially in the suburbs of Chicago, and this is a huge issue up there. But it's you're right. We do need to wake up. There's over 2 million gun owners in the state of Illinois. Those numbers win a governor's race, and you know, obviously everybody's not getting out and voting and making sure that we're strongly advocating our positions here, because you know, over the last couple of generations in the state of Illinois, we haven't boldly articulated our stances. We haven't stood up for the Constitution. I mean, these people have been out of control for a while. Just look at the last few years, how they've trampled on the Constitution with the COVID tyranny, with the Safety Act here in the state of Illinois, which is currently under review and stayed because of potential constitutional issues. And now this direct assault on the Second Amendment in this state, this is a straight up gun grab. You know,
We want to talk about the magazine capacities, because that's something that is very passionate for a lot of people, and timing on this whole thing. So explain who could be legal and illegal in the very near future.
Right. You know, now there's millions of people in the state of Illinois that have magazines with more than a 10 round capacity. And once this law passes and the governor signs it overnight, law-abiding citizens who are in lawful possession of magazines that contain more than 10 rounds are going to be illegal overnight. Just like that. You know, you go from a law-abiding citizen to a criminal overnight. Now, on the magazine part of this bill, there's not even a registry for that. This isn't something that you could go and register, although, you know, we're strongly opposed to that. No, they're going to require you to actually turn these magazines in. Now, they haven't gone through the logistics on how that's actually going to happen and how they're going to enforce that, because we've got, you know, you mentioned my district and, you know, the strong advocates for the Second Amendment here. Effingham County is my home base. They're a gun sanctuary. They've already put out, their county board's already put out that they're not going to spend any of their resources enforcing this stuff. So, you know, not only is it illegal, it's unenforceable. And just the fact that they're going to try to make you turn these magazines in is a straight-up violation of the Constitution.
You know, it's sad, and I'm not saying it should have to come to this, but let's say, for example, you own a Sig Sauer 365, just as an example, or a Glock that holds the standard magazine for most of these guns these days is 12 to 15 rounds. I mean, you would have to modify the magazine in some manner to even continue to use the handgun.
That's exactly right. And this bill explicitly says, and I quote, that any magazine holding more than 10 rounds is outlawed from being made, sold, or possessed. So these are huge issues. These are people making laws basically out of virtue signal. They have no idea about, you know, the current state of firearms or gun owners or anything. This is more of a deal where, you know, in politics, it's more about CYA than it is actually solving issues. And this is what this is all about. They need to put out there to their people that they're doing something about these crazy gun owners.
Well, this is going to be really important in cutting down on crime in the Chicago area, because all the bad guys will give up their clips that have, you know, 30 rounds or 20 rounds in it. So that's a good thing. Not.
Exactly.
Illinois Rep. Blaine Willauer is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Can we talk about the timing of this? Because as a gun owner, I'm thinking, okay, when does this go in effect, or when could this go in effect?
They're moving very quickly on it. We're in Springfield. We just got back into session yesterday. We're in session today. I'm going to be going in about an hour here, and we're in tomorrow and through next week. And they're trying to move this fast. I haven't been to the Capitol yet today, but my understanding is they're busing in a lot of these anti-gun people from Chicago. So there's going to be a lot of pressure there. We could see this bill in a committee today. That's definitely a possibility. They've got to do something with all these people that they're bringing down. And we could see it on the floor of the House sometime between now and Tuesday is my thoughts on this. That's kind of what we're hearing here. But there is some pushback from some Democrats, especially some of the inner city ones in Chicago on some of this stuff, specifically with the magazine. So there is some talk on grandfathering in, existing magazines. But as you were talking earlier, logistically, this is, it's pretty unworkable.
Yeah, that's true. Mr. Willauer, we had a long time talk show host here in St. Louis who coined the phrase, you can't fix stupid. And when I see legislation like this, I want to ask these people who are so anti-gun in Chicago, where they have, 15, 20 shootings, sometimes 8 or 10 murders a weekend, do they really believe the people committing those crimes are more likely to listen to a new law when they've ignored all the ones that are already on the books? I mean, Bo hinted at that a minute ago, but at some point, why do they think more laws will fix this problem?
That's something that we've pondered on a lot here. You know, I think it's a combination of, number one, they don't care. They don't care about the Constitution. Their numbers are so great in the Illinois General Assembly. It takes 60 votes to pass something. As we sit right now in the lame duck, they've got 73. After Tuesday, they're going to have 78. So I think they're feeling like they can do anything they want. But I think that there's a lack of critical thinking and ignorance from a lot of the suburban and urban legislators about, you know, what's the Second Amendment all about, really? It's not, they didn't write the Second Amendment for deer hunting, all right? It's an important part of the balance of the constitutional republic between citizens and government. And I don't think that's something that gets enough play when we talk about the Second Amendment. The Constitution is all about protecting the citizens from the government. And when you get into a government where there are no checks, there are no balances, there's no checks between the citizens and the government, that's a government that's out of control. And that's what you're seeing in the state of Illinois. And at some point, people have got to wake up.
And we are seeing it more and more in every state. And there, I believe that the big push on the vulnerable states like California right here in Illinois is a big concern. Illinois Representative Blaine Willauer is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Could this be a nefarious way to just have a money grab? You know, you can keep your clips that are, you know, hold 20, but we're going to charge you per, because we've heard those stories too. They want to charge you per shell, or they want to charge you per, you know, per magazine that has, you know, more than 10 in it. Could it be that?
That's part of it. That's certainly part of it. Obviously, we've got the FOID process in the state of Illinois, which is a disaster, and they get money from that. So part of this bill is they're creating a gun registry for these existing semi-automatic weapons. And not only are they creating that registry, they're going to charge you law-abiding gun owners a fee to register these firearms. So, yeah, that's part of what they're doing here. And, you know, this is a process. We all know where they want to end up on this. I mean, why do they want this gun registry? You know, they want to know what you have. And, you know, we can see down the line these people make no bones about it. You watch some of these committee hearings and watch some of the discussion on the floor. These people are rabidly anti-gun. They want your guns. And this is just a step in that process. And we've got to push back. The numbers aren't with us here. You know, we're kind of in the pose here that we're going to fight this. We're not going to negotiate this with these people. There's no negotiating with these people. There's no common ground, you know. So we're not getting into the nuance on the bill. We're just letting them fling it against the wall right now. And I think that they're biting off more than they can chew. And at the end of the day, they're going to pass this bill or something similar to it. The governor's going to sign it. And the gun rights advocates, all the groups are getting together, and we're gonna take this to court. And I think that they're going to end up with less than what they've got right now when they do this, because they are far overreaching and they're not looking at what's going on around the nation. You know, with the Heller decision and some of the New York decision and some of this stuff, the Supreme Court and the federal courts have clearly align mostly on the side of the Second Amendment on this stuff. So we're at the point right now, we can't stop this in the General Assembly. We're going to fight it. We're going to, you know, make sure the our people are engaged and they're informed and they're supporting and they're funding some of these groups that are going to go fight this thing. But our fight's in the court now.
And hopefully the Supreme Court ultimately answers this on the FOID card and these further gun registry questions. I hope they just
putting that
shut
into
them
play
down
as well. That's part of the biting off more than they can chew. That we may well end up in a situation where not only do they declare this unconstitutional, they do the right thing and they declare the FOID card unconstitutional, because it is.
I hope so. Yeah, I really do. Let me speak about this Safety Act real quick before we run out of time here. I read Governor Pritzker's comments on this. First time he's commented on it since when the court suspended it back in December from taking effect. He said, even if we lose this in court, we'll make another run at it. I mean, he's just boldly saying we're going to release criminals back into your society. And he had the audacity to suggest that by doing so, he's making Illinois safer. What in the world is this guy thinking about?
Well, they don't really like to tackle real issues in Springfield. They like to virtue signal to their base so they can put out nice press releases and he can look really good when he tries to run for president in a couple of years. But this is that literally what you're seeing in the state of Illinois is something that the Constitution is supposed to be protecting us from, is tyranny of the majority. Things are so out of control. They've got so many seats. They've got so much power that they're thinking that they can do whatever they want. And the governor's comments are completely illustrating that. He don't care what the courts say. He didn't care what the courts said during his outrageous COVID tyranny. He didn't care what they said then. He don't care what they say now. They're just going to keep pushing. That's what the left does, man. They just keep pushing until they get their way. And you know, I think that our side could learn a little bit from you know that kind of tenacity.
That's right.
Well, and I hope you have that tenacity if you get a chance to speak in Jefferson City, or in Springfield, I mean. Blaine Willauer is our guest, and I just want to let you know, I don't know if you know this, but there are bridges that connect Illinois into Missouri, and they have U-Hauls that can come this way if you want, you know, if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look at the latest population figures, and I think you're seeing a lot of that. There's a lot of U-Hauls running to Florida and Tennessee and Missouri and everywhere else. But, you know, somebody's got to stay and fight on this stuff, and that's certainly what we're doing here. Illinois is a great state. We've just been burdened by generations of poor public policy from, you know, politicians that have other interests than yours, the people.
Yeah.
And that's got to change. And this is a process. We've got some really good legislators, especially in our part of the state, that are finally, you know, getting organized and boldly standing up, you know, for what's right and for the regular folks here that just haven't been stood up for a long time.
Thanks for all you're doing, Illinois Representative Blaine Willauer. We appreciate you being part of the show this morning. Thank you.
Yep. You
absolutely.
Explained it really
Thanks,
well.
Guys. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Yep. Great having him on here. Great to know that, you know, he's not giving up. And I've heard Annie Fry here on 97.1 talk about that quite a bit. She's like, yeah, it's my home state. I don't want to give up. I'm as frustrated as anybody by what they get away with in Springfield. But you got people like Blaine Willauer and others in the Illinois Freedom Caucus still fighting.
If it gets that tight in gun laws in Illinois, I mean, could you imagine a northern and southern Illinois like North Dakota, South Dakota?
They've joked about it. The problem is the population centers would do everything they could to prevent that because they need the tax revenue from the red part of the state downstate, right? They're not going to let them secede because they would want that tax money more than anything.
Again, Poplar Street Bridge, Eads Bridge, JB Bridge. All right, coming up in our next segment, we've got a buddy of mine from Eureka Contracting, Rick Hinkson. When I found out the Elks Lodge out there was doing a cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off and a BB gun shoot, I thought, oh, now come on.
Put
I've never
your
even
eye
heard
out with
of
that.
That.
Come on.
I've already got one eye. I still got one left. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk to Rick coming up next on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Stay right there.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with my partner, Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman running the board.
Pew
Thank
pew.
You, sir. We appreciate that. So I have a question for you. I moved here from Ohio many years ago, Bo Matthews. And long after I left Ohio, my father introduced me to a game that he constantly referred to as cornhole. And once I got here and started using that term, some people made fun of it. People here were calling it bags. Have you heard it called bags before?
I would rather hear it called bags,
Which
actually.
Would you rather hear it called? Bags or cornhole?
I'm telling you. Cornhole to me is Beavis and Butthead, and I'd rather
cornholio.
Call it bags.
That's cornholio.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I have developed some skill at cornhole over the years because my dad used to love to play it with all of his friends. But I watch these tournaments these days on cable TV, and I cannot believe how good some people are at this. I mean, every throw is in the hole.
It is amazing. And the great thing about it is anybody can be a professional because you can practice it in your own backyard.
True.
I actually got a tabletop cornhole game for Christmas. And It's not bags you use, it's quarters you use. So I think it could be easily turned into a drinking game.
What?
Mm-hmm. So for the record, cornhole is not a real sport because you can drink while you're doing it, similar to billiards.
No, I saw CBS Sports put on a cornhole tournament with advertisers and organization and all of that. So if legitimate sporting services are putting them out.
You could say that about bowling too, though, Bo.
Exactly.
Because you can drink while you bowl, but the professional bowlers don't.
Right.
So if you're a professional holer, you probably don't drink while you're doing it.
Are they called holers?
So, I don't know. I just
baggers?
Made that up.
So what about golf? Is golf a real sport if you're drinking?
You can drink. But the pros don't.
A little swing lube always helps me.
I've never heard of
I'm
that.
I'm just telling you.
But the professionals don't drink.
Okay.
Let's Mark get to Cox our just guest. He came up with a
new product, swing lube.
A little
good luck
swing
with that.
Lube for that. Yeah,
buddy of mine for several years now. I'm going to say several years because we're in our seventh annual Poker Bash era. But Rick Hickson is from Eureka Contracting, been your businessman of the year, that kind of thing. And I was recently at an event where he was talking about the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, which he's part of, number 2644. And Rick, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Happy New Year, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bo. Happy New Year to you as well.
Good to talk to you. Hey, when I saw you at that chamber event and you were talking about a BB gun shoot, I thought, oh, this is perfect for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. But it's a lot more. Tell us about your involvement with the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, first and foremost.
I'm the chairman of the Veterans Committee. Part of that, what we do is we try to help out as many of the homeless vets in our area as we can to help them get a hand up, get going up with life.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick, Mark Cox here. I mean, I think that's fantastic. And obviously, this is one of the fundraisers that you guys do in order to do that. What's the need out there among vets?
What we're finding that we do is we provide them with some household items. We'll buy them a bed, buns, pots, pans, dishes, that kind of thing to get them started. It's kind of a startup kit. That's been our involvement in that portion of it. We also support the Fisher House, and we're involved with a couple of different programs with the different veterans organizations.
I love what you guys do, and Rick, you're definitely the guy to be in the lead because I've known you as a businessman of the year for Eureka. Is there a lot of homeless in Eureka, or are you reaching out a little bit further outside the city limits?
Most of our stuff is in the city within the city limits, not Eureka, but St. Louis itself.
Gotcha.
When they set them up in different apartments and rental places, typically they are in the city.
Well, I think that's a fantastic effort on your part. So what you have coming up on the 21st day of January at from noon to 6 out at the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge is a cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it should be fun. Yeah, we're doing the cornhole tournament, the crockpot cook-off. We're also going to have a BB gun shoot and a dessert auction. So with our crockpot cook-off, we're telling everybody to bring their favorite crockpot dish, and we'll have a small fee if you don't bring a crockpot. Have $10 fee. You can taste them all and vote on them. If you bring a crockpot, you get to taste them all for free.
Oh, nice.
And then we've got the cornhole tournament, two different brackets. We have a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket. So and everything's indoors.
So if you know up front that you're likely to be a loser, you enter the loser's bracket? Is it?
Yeah, you can come over there and work with me. I'll be on that side, Mark.
The part that got my attention was the BB gun shoot. Can you explain? Now, Rick, I've been to meat shoots before, and I've walked away with big slabs of bacon and a turkey one time down in Zell, Missouri. I do love a good meat shoot. Tell us how the BB gun shoot's going to work.
The BB gun shoot is going to be three shots for $5. Everybody's going to shoot the same gun. I've got a little Daisy BB gun, one of the original BB guns, so that's what we're going to shoot. It's brand new. So everybody will shoot the same gun. You get three targets. I'm going to pay out every half hour. We're going to charge, split the pot with the lodge. The lodge will get 50%. The winner will get 50%.
Love it.
every half hour. And then I also have a 15-pound slab of bacon that we might throw in there as a bonus.
Nice.
You have my attention.
I saw the twinkle in Bo's eye. I think he's got his own BB gun he practices with out there at his compound, and he was hoping to bring that down.
It's an AR-15 BB gun. I sent you the picture of it over the holidays.
Yeah, those are the kind we all like to have. But now we're going to keep it down just to the one shoot, because we've all got those that, you know, they shoot as almost like a rifle. So
was the Daisy BB gun your first firearm, Mark?
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. It definitely was mine. And Rick, how about you?
Actually, it was a 38.
Nice.
I didn't have any guns until I went into service, and I bought a 38 gotcha. Off a guy.
No, yeah. I remember having a little one that looked like a Winchester Model 94.
Oh,
it was a lever action that cocked it, and
that's it.
It had a plastic butt. The butt on it was made out of plastic. And the reason I know that is I was shooting at a rabbit in my yard, and it went into a bush, and I went out and started beating the bush and broke the stock. So that's how I discovered it was plastic.
Yeah,
that's great.
A great story. Yeah. That's the same type of gun we bought.
Great. They sell them over at they sell them at heck Walmart too. But Daisy BB guns, that's a great starter gun for anybody. I remember when I was 7 and my parents were divorcing, and my dad gave me my Daisy BB gun. Said you're the man of the family now. You got to take care of your mom and your sister. Here, I'm like, what? This is how I was introduced to firearms. Nice.
Yeah. You didn't put your eye out or anything.
No, but let me tell you a quick story. So I have this gun. I live in an apartment complex. I'm 8 years old. And so I'm out on the basketball court, and we're shooting at the backboard of the, you know, because nobody's playing basketball. And we're shooting at the backboard, and a buddy of mine's little brother climbs the pole, gets behind the backboard, and he takes the gun, and he shoots at the backboard. His brother pops up just at the time he shoots, an inch above his eyeball. I swear, an inch above his eyeball. Yeah. I destroyed the evidence as quickly as possible, and his mom come beating on our door. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Oh, my goodness. Rick Hakes.
Statute of limitations is over.
Yeah, just to let people know, it's if you've got a partner and the two of you are really good at cornhole, it's $40 a team to register for this tournament that's coming up on January 21st, correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Good.
And then we'll split the pot with the lodge. It'll be a 50-50 split.
Oh, nice. So there'll be an overall winner in each category?
Yes, we'll have a winner's category and a loser's category. So that way everybody can play all day.
Nice.
And then, everything's indoors. That's a big deal. You know, middle of January, you don't want to be outside throwing cornhole.
Hey, can we do that for the Big Dog Poker Tournament? So if I lose, I can keep playing.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, you also have a dessert auction, and you are looking for dessert donations, and I love a good cakewalk or a dessert auction, so that's going to be good, a good fundraiser. This is for 2644, the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, and their cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off. Where can people go online to find out more information, Rick?
They can go to my email. They can go...
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with my partner, Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman running the board.
Pew
Thank
pew.
You, sir. We appreciate that. So I have a question for you. I moved here from Ohio many years ago, Bo Matthews. And long after I left Ohio, my father introduced me to a game that he constantly referred to as cornhole. And once I got here and started using that term, some people made fun of it. People here were calling it bags. Have you heard it called bags before?
No. I would rather hear it called bags,
Which would
actually.
You rather hear it called? Bags or
cornhole? I'm telling you, Cornhole to me is Beavis and Butthead, and I'd rather call it bags.
That's Cornholio.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I have developed some skill at cornhole over the years because my dad used to love to play it with all of his friends. But I watch these tournaments these days on cable TV, and I cannot believe how good some people are at this. I mean, every throw is in the hole.
It is amazing. And the great thing about it is anybody can be a professional because you can practice it in your own backyard.
True.
I actually got a tabletop cornhole game for Christmas. And it's not bags you use, it's quarters you use. So I think it could be easily turned into a drinking game.
What?
Mm-hmm. So for the record, cornhole is not a real sport because you can drink while you're doing it, similar to billiards.
No, I saw CBS Sports put on a cornhole tournament with advertisers and organization and all of that. So if legitimate sporting services are putting them out.
You could say that about bowling too, though, Bo.
Exactly.
Because you can drink while you bowl, but the professional bowlers don't.
Right.
So if you're a professional holer, you probably don't drink while you're doing it.
Are they called holers?
So, I don't know. I just
baggers?
Made that up.
So what about golf? Is golf a real sport if you're drinking?
You can drink.
A little swing lube always helps me.
I've never heard of
I'm
that.
Just telling you.
But the professionals don't drink.
Okay.
Let's Mark get to Cox our just guest.
Came up with he came up with a new product, swing lube.
Good luck swing with that. Lube for that. Yeah,
buddy of mine for several years now. I'm going to say several years because we're in our seventh annual Poker Bash era. But Rick Hickson is from Eureka Contracting, been your businessman of the year, that kind of thing. And I was recently at an event where he was talking about the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, which he's part of, number 2644. And Rick, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Happy New Year, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bo. Happy New Year to you as well.
Good to talk to you. Hey, when I saw you at that chamber event and you were talking about a BB gun shoot, I thought, oh, this is perfect for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. But it's a lot more. Tell us about your involvement with the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, first and foremost.
I'm the chairman of the Veterans Committee. Part of that, what we do is we try to help out as many of the homeless vets in our area as we can to help them get a hand up, get going up with life.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick, Mark Cox here. I mean, I think that's fantastic. And obviously, this is one of the fundraisers that you guys do in order to do that. What's the need out there among vets?
What we're finding that we do is we provide them with some household items. We'll buy them a bed, buy them pots, pans, dishes, that kind of thing to get them started. It's kind of a startup kit. That's been our involvement in that portion of it. We also support the Fisher House, and we're involved with a couple of different programs with the different veterans organizations.
I love what you guys do, and Rick, you're definitely the guy to be in the lead because I've known you as a businessman of the year for Eureka. Is there a lot of homeless in Eureka, or are you reaching out a little bit further outside the city limits?
Most of our stuff is in the city within the city limits, not Eureka, but St. Louis itself.
Gotcha.
When they set them up in different apartments and rental places, typically they are in the city.
Well, I think that's a fantastic effort on your part. So what you have coming up on the 21st day of January at from noon to 6 out at the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge is a cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it should be fun. Yeah, we're doing the cornhole tournament, the crockpot cook-off. We're also going to have a BB gun shoot and a dessert auction. So with our crockpot cook-off, we're telling everybody to bring their favorite crockpot dish, and we'll have a small fee if you don't bring a crockpot. Have $10 fee. You can taste them all and vote on them. If you bring a crockpot, you get to taste them all for free.
Oh, nice.
And then we've got the cornhole tournament, two different brackets. We have a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket. So and everything's indoors.
So if you know up front that you're likely to be a loser, you enter the loser's bracket? Is it?
Yeah, you can come over there and work with me. I'll be on that side, Mark.
The part that got my attention was the BB gun shoot. Can you explain? Now, Rick, I've been to meat shoots before, and I've walked away with, you know, big slabs of bacon and a turkey one time down in Zell, Missouri. I do love a good meat shoot. Tell us how the BB gun shoot's going to work.
The BB gun shoot is going to be 3 shots for $5. Everybody's going to shoot the same gun. I've got a little Daisy BB gun, one of the original BB guns, so that's what we're going to shoot. It's brand new. So everybody will shoot the same gun. You get 3 targets. I'm going to pay out every half hour. We're going to charge, split the pot with the lodge. The lodge get 50%. The winner will get 50% every half hour. And then I also have a 15-pound slab of bacon that we might throw in there and as a bonus.
Nice.
You have my attention.
I saw the twinkle in Bo's eye. I think he's got his own BB gun he practices with out there at his compound, and he was hoping to bring
that down. It's an AR-15 BB gun. It's an AR-15 BB gun. I sent you the picture of it over the holidays.
Yeah, those are the kind we all like to have. But now we're going to keep it down just to the one shoot, because we've all got those that, you know, they shoot as almost like a rifle. So
Was the Daisy BB gun your first firearm, Mark?
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. It definitely was mine. And Rick, how about you?
Actually, it was a 38.
Oh, nice.
I didn't have any guns until I went into service, and I bought a 38 off a guy.
No, yeah. I remember having a little one that looked like a Winchester Model 94.
Oh,
it was a lever action that cocked it. And
that's it.
It had a plastic butt. The butt on it was made out of plastic. And the reason I know that is I was shooting at a rabbit in my yard, and it went into a bush, and I went out and started beating the bush and broke the stock. So that's how I discovered it was plastic.
Yeah, that's
that's great.
A great story. Yeah. No, that's that's the same type of gun we bought.
Great. They sell them over at, well, they sell them at heck Walmart too, but, Daisy BB guns, that's a great starter gun for anybody. I remember when I was 7 and my parents were divorcing, and my dad gave me a Daisy BB gun, said, you're the man of the family now. You got to take care of your mom and your sister here. I'm like, what? This is how I was introduced to firearms. Nice.
Yeah. You didn't put your eye out or anything?
No, but let me tell you a quick story. So I have this gun. I live in an apartment complex. I'm 8 years old. And so I'm out on the basketball court, and we're shooting at the backboard of the, you know, because nobody's playing basketball. And we're shooting at the backboard, and a buddy of mine's little brother climbs the pole, gets behind the backboard, and he takes the gun, and he shoots at the backboard. His brother pops up just at the time he shoots, an inch above his eyeball. I swear, an inch above his eyeball.
Yeah.
I destroyed the evidence as quickly as possible, and his mom come beating on our door. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Oh, my goodness. Rick Hakes.
Statute of limitations is over.
Yeah, just to let people know, it's if you've got a partner and the two of you are really good at cornhole, it's $40 a team to register for this tournament that's coming up on January 21st, correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Good.
And then we'll split the pot with the lodge. It'll be a 50-50 split.
Oh, nice. So there'll be an overall winner in each category?
Yes, we'll have a winner's category and a loser's category. So that way everybody can play all day.
Nice.
And then, everything's indoors. That's a big deal. You know, middle of January, you don't want to be outside throwing cornhole.
Hey, can we do that for the big dog poker tournament? So if I lose, I can keep playing?
Oh,
no, that would be good. Yeah.
I do want to point out, you also have a dessert auction, and you are looking for dessert donations, and I love a good cakewalk or a dessert auction, so that's going to be good, a good fundraiser. This is for 2644, the Eureka Pacific Elks Lodge, and their cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off. Where can people go online to find out more information, Rick?
They can go to my email. They can go to rick@eurekacontracting.com. Contact me. I will send them over a flyer. Or they can always reach out to me on my phone at 314-614-0216.
Very good. Rick Hinkson, listen, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning, and Happy New Year to you, and best of luck with the cornhole tournament and crockpot cook-off.
No, thank you very much, Mark and Bo. I appreciate you as well, sir.
You bet. Great, great to getting him on here. That's going
to
be fun.
Right, I hope and to see you guys up there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come on up.
Mark and I've been talking about getting together for months, and you know, socially, and it just never happens. That's all right. I can take a hint.
There you go. Well, I don't know what you're doing on the 21st, but that'd be a good place.
That's where we're going to be.
All right,
Rick. Thank you very much for your service to this country too, as well, sir.
Oh, thanks, Bo. Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. We'll talk soon. That's great. I don't know, Bo. We get together, we practice a little bit. Maybe we could be a team. What do you think?
I you know what? Let's do that. I'll play bags with you. No problem.
There you go. Nice.
No,
nice.
You guys need to play cornhole together.
Nope, we're playing bags, man. Oh, boy. Well, freshly back from Mexico. You made it through Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. I'm proud of you, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm working on about 4 hours of sleep right now. So that's good, though. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. On behalf of our executive producer, that guy, Carl Hi. Middleman, Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews. Have a great rest of your weekend. Happy 2023. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.